The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I am joined by the winner of Survivor China, Todd Herzog. I'm going to be honest, Todd, I never thought I would say those words on this podcast, and it is awesome to be able to. For those who have listened for a long time, they know China is my favorite season. Love the final three. Love the cast. I'm so excited to have you on today. Thanks so much.
I just got goosebumps. Thank you. That makes me feel really, really awesome. You know, 17 years ago, so like, to hear that is still pretty incredible. You know, I was a kid. Like, it's crazy. So thank you. And thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's funny. So when I first started dating my wife, it was, hey, let's watch Survivor, because she knew I did this podcast and all that. And it was like, normally I tell everybody start from the beginning, but with her, I was like, no, let's start with China, because that's my favorite season. And now we've gotten back up to China in the rewatch. And I was like, do you want to watch it again? And she was like, yeah, of course I do. I'm like, okay, good. There amazing. We go. So,
and I am biased, I guess, but like, if I take myself out of the equation overall, it's an incredible season. Like the location, the cast, the rewards and the challenges, it was just pretty stand out as far as that goes.
And it felt like Survivor was really clicking with their twists and things along those lines, which was great. The two idols was fun and a nice little addition to the season. Couldn't have worked out any better, honestly, the first time they brought it in. But it felt like they had found their stride so well at that point. And, you know, it led into what I call always the golden era of Survivor. And most people in the community agree. It's not a hot take, but 15 through 20 is just like, it's gold all the time.
Seasons. I mean, it was like hit after hit after hit. It was, yeah, I agree. I loved that era for sure.
How are you feeling now watching this? Like you said, you played 17 years ago, which is insane to think about. How are you feeling watching the new era, and how are you feeling watching season 47 right now?
I have to be honest, 47 is my favorite season in years.
Really?
I love it. I love the cast. I, you know, as far as the new era goes, like it took some adjusting and getting used to, like anything, you know, you adapt with what you're given. And it's been fun, and I've enjoyed some of the players and whatnot. But this season, I find things that I want to root for in so many of the people that are left, and that rarely happens. So the fact that I can look at this list of nine and I'm like, well, I like this one, this one, this one, this one is incredible.
Yeah. And I think that comes to, too, they're not really over editing anybody. And I feel like in some seasons they do that. And now it's like they're not telling you go this way. They're giving you plenty of options so you can kind of pick the person you connect with the most.
So I was talking to a friend about this the other day. And so and he loves this season as well. And I said, one of the reasons why it's so good is we don't have one character who is like this in your face all the time, goofy or like outlandish or wild. Sure, you've got your Andy with his moments, but it's not overdone. It's not like Carolyn, who is so much fun to watch on 44, you know, it was a lot of her and her crazy and her goofy. And it was fun, but like, sometimes it was overkill. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah. And how are you feeling then? What about this season is standing out to you that makes you feel like it's your favorite though? I know you said the players and that, but is there anything else that's sticking out?
Yes, because there's people playing the game. Like there's not just one person who is calling the shots. It's multiple people trying to make moves and multiple people with game plans and strategies that are coming together or, you know, being left out of. And I think that's Survivor. Like we have Caroline who is like secretly controlling so many people. Then we have Genevieve, who is like this quiet mastermind. And Andy, who is like, I don't know if he's the greatest Survivor player ever or like the worst. Like it's very bizarre because he is doing something crazy good, in my opinion. It's weird. It's just fun, you know? And then Gabe and Sue, I love it.
I love that. Yeah. And when you played, you had a strong alliance, but there was a lot more strategy going on with you, Courtney, Amanda, all of that. But do you feel like, what is it like about this season that's letting the strategy kind of shine? Because I do feel like in 46, it was a lot of crazy. Nobody was playing idols. 45, it was a dominant alliance. But like, why is Genevieve able to get away with what she got away with last week?
You know, that's a really good freaking question. I think because she doesn't overdo it, she doesn't go into panic mode. She kind of like speaks it and puts it into motion, and she controls her emotion so well. But I completely left Rachel out of that as well. And I didn't mean to, because Rachel belongs in that group, because she should have been gone several times ago. The way she played her shot in the dark, genius. Like, hello, play it, look for a reaction, then go based off of that, whether I play my idol or not. First time in the new era that it's ever happened. It's going to probably happen now again in the future. But I don't know if it'll ever be as successful as it was for this. Yeah. So it's just pretty, I don't know. I feel like Genevieve, I would love to see Genevieve win, but I don't know if she will.
That's been the popular opinion, I feel like, and especially with our fans, the Genevieve stans have been coming for me hard, because I'm like, no, I think she's in trouble here, guys. Like, I don't think she's going to win. I think they're eventually going to catch on. People are like, give her her flowers, do all of this. And I'm like, but I'm trying to just keep it real. That's the biggest thing right now. And I love Genevieve. I think she's the best player on the season right now. Now, there's still a lot of game left, but I think right now she's the best player. But it was brought up in Saul's exit press that Teenie told him at Tribal Council, Genevieve is the one who started this. You're going to go home. That's not good.
No, that's bad. That's bad news. Yeah. Like, and so, I mean, I agree with you. I feel like she is a phenomenal player, but all it's going to take is for one person to find out, and it's going to blow up in her face.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like if Teenie knows, Teenie might try to lead a little bit of a charge there, because Teenie's not in a bad spot if she ends up being the only original Lavo member left. Being the last member of your original starting tribe can be a good place to be in. So if Genevieve were to go, all of a sudden Teenie finds herself in between, you know, four Tukus, and I guess it would be, what, three of the starting, I can't remember the name of the other tribe, but you know what I mean. She would be smack in the middle of that, which is a good place to be.
No, I completely agree. I feel like with Teenie, so much of this game has gone with her being left in shock or surprise or sad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so where she is now, if she doesn't do something to take control, it's just going to continue to be shock, surprise, and sad.
Yeah.
And so I feel like if her big moment is taking out Genevieve, that could completely change the course of her game.
Yeah. And I think whoever takes out Genevieve then goes to Ponderosa, and she starts talking to everybody and saying, well, this is what I did. This is what I did. The person who takes out Genevieve will be getting a lot of credit, probably from the jury at Final Three, I would think.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely.
So taking a quick sidestep away from the conversation here, I just want to let the people who are listening know. So we did our prop bet game at the beginning of the season. We do this prop bet game every season since season 30. So this year, we normally give out buffs, and I said, I'm getting tired of doing the buffs. Let's see if we can do something else. So I had reached out to Todd, and I just wanted to bring this up now, because the people who are playing our prop bet game, the winner is going to get a custom pop. And I don't even know if I'm calling them the right thing, because it's such a new world to me. Like, what is it that made you dive into this?
Okay, so they're called Funko Pops, and they're, okay, you know, they're, it's an actual brand that you can purchase movie, TV show people in store, but they don't have everything. So when COVID hit, I was, you know, I collect Funko Pops, and I was like, oh yeah, like, this is fun, this is like something I enjoy. When COVID hit, I was like seeing all these people being creative online, and I've never been like a super creative person, you know, necessarily like artistic, and I was like, well, let's be creative to my husband. Like, let's do something creative. Let's make some custom pops. And I wanted the Spice Girls, because the Spice Girls have never been made. So we sat down for craft day one night, and I made the Spice Girls, and I posted them on Facebook, and it blew up. And before you knew it or know it, I turned it into an entire career. It's like my own business. And I do it full time now. I just make custom Funko Pops of anybody you could possibly imagine, mostly Survivor contestants, because, you know, Survivor, but I make everybody. So, and it's fun. I love it. I have a blast doing it.
Yeah. And so the winner of our game is going to get whatever they want as the pop. That was the deal. Todd reached out. He said, give me a couple weeks. I don't know how many it was originally, but it's just give me a couple weeks, whatever they want. I'll sit down and I'll make it. And I think that's what's been fun is you're not just doing, I still love the Amanda with the backwards hat one because I just think that's such a great look.
The one of her at Tribal Council.
Yeah, I love that because also one of the best tribal councils. But, you know, I've seen you also make the other just random people who just reach out and say, hey, I want to make this of my boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. It doesn't matter. I think it's great. And it's awesome. And did that like get you back into the Survivor community? Like, how did you feel that kind of impacted like where you were at before you started doing that? Now kind of where you are now.
I think it definitely got me back into the Survivor community. Like, I've never stopped being a Survivor fan. So I've always been someone who watched it, but I wasn't very active on social media or anything, but I also was like a crazy drunk for a while. Mm-hmm. So like that is over, and I, you know, this is my life now. And so to be a part of the Survivor community again has been the greatest thing for me, mm-hmm. because I started a Survivor club in high school. Yeah. You know, I was a diehard Survivor fan. And so this is very much what my life like was like before Survivor, where I got to hang out with people who like the game and the show and talking about it and coming up with different plot twists that could or could not happen. And so it's been super, honestly, just really cool because I get to engage with the fans of the show because I am a fan of the show as well.
Yeah, because we did a rewatch on this channel way back during COVID because we were looking for something to fill time. We had nothing. And so we did a rewatch of China. And we had Leslie came on, Sharia came on, and PG came on. So we ended up getting those three to do kind of the China stuff. And it was at that time, it was like, has anybody heard from Court or from Todd or from Courtney or from Amanda? And I wasn't really asking them. I was more just asking like the internet, like, where did everybody go? And it's great to see you back because I always felt that you were one of the best winners of the game. And like, I always thought you were like great. You were phenomenal TV. And I'm just so happy that you're back in it and that you found your stride here and that it's working because I'm super excited about these things. And I might be reaching out to you anyway to have one made at some point. So I'm just pumped about it.
Well, and I mean, I'm stoked too, because the Survivor community is unlike anything that I've ever seen in my entire life. Cause yeah, you have your fandoms of, you know, comics or superheroes or sports or whatever like that, but the Survivor fandom is real and it is extreme, and mm-hmm. it's all people who have similar interests for the most part, but then it can be completely opposite at the same time, but they all can mesh at the yeah. It's pretty amazing. Like, I do drawings, I host drawings throughout the year, and each one is labeled a season, and then I have like a group chat on Facebook that people can join, and we create a community there to give away pops and play games and get make new friends. It's amazing.
Yeah. Do you have a website that people could go to, or is it everything just reach out through?
Just Facebook or Instagram.
Gotcha. So everybody knows now. There you go. If you're interested, I could throw, if you want me to, I can throw your email in the description of this video too, so that people can have
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Help you out there. All right. I wanted to take that quick aside. So right now, actually, let me see if I can pull up who the leader of our game is, so the person can know how close they are to potentially having one of these. And hopefully it doesn't, you know, hopefully for some others, it doesn't get ripped out from under them before the season ends, because I'm sure there's plenty of chaos still remaining. Right now, our prop bet leader is somebody named D-M-O-I-T-O-S-O, D-Motoso. I don't know. It looks like they're a CSU student right now out in California State System. So
nice.
There you go. There you go. That's who's in first place with 18 points, but it's wide open.
I was looking for some around my desk, but like right now it's just little bodies. Like,
gotcha.
One is someone who is in an LRG, live reality game. So yeah, I'm making him into a pop.
I love that. I love that. And I love when fans like that end up actually playing Survivor, somebody like Teeny who was in LRGs, was doing all of that stuff, probably would have been one of the people reaching out, dying to get one of these made. And now she gets to actually be on the show. So who knows? Maybe somebody will be asking for a Teeny pop after this is all said and done, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody has so far.
It's coming. Hey, we still got a little bit of season left. People probably want to find out who the winner is, right? That's going to be the big thing.
That's true. I mean, I have someone who already ordered Kyle, someone okay. who ordered Rachel, and Sierra. So like, you never know.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, I will put your email here in the description of the video. All right, diving back into 47, we got nine people left. last week, do you feel the move by Genevieve was the best thing for her game, or did she go a little early?
I don't think it was necessarily the best thing for her game. I mean, I do agree with the fact that, you know, they wanted to target Sam and they wanted to target Kyle, and like those are so easy to get rid of later because of the fact that, you know, they already have that target on their back. So for her to then go after Saul, I feel like was a bit premature. I feel like if she would have gone after Caroline, Sue, Rachel, you know, it may have been better for her game.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking too. And I know a lot of people were saying get rid of Kyle because he'd been winning all the immunities and all of that. But I do feel like it's a little overblown probably at this point with challenge threats, because you can win every challenge and get zero votes at the end. Like that's, you know, exactly. That could happen. So it doesn't really matter. But yeah, I felt when she started saying Saul's name, I was like, whoa, where are you going here? Like there's a lot of other people still playing. And Saul seemed like he was ready to be loyal to Genevieve, even if he had written her name down earlier in the season.
That, yeah, that's what is weird to me. I mean, obviously, I'm sure there's things that we didn't see, and maybe he did pose more of a social threat, because a lot of people did really like Saul. And the social threats are the ones that you need to watch out for. As far as Genevieve goes, I don't necessarily view her as a social threat, though, because, yes, she is friendly with everybody, but she's not the most friendly with everyone.
Yeah, it seems like she's playing a strictly strategic game. I don't know, because even when she made this Saul move, my biggest question was, how good does she really feel with Tuku? How good does she really feel with the original Yellow Tribe? Like, she has to feel pretty good with them to make a move on somebody she's been with since day one. And if she doesn't, where does she think she's going to go? Because everybody's a chess piece, right? When you're playing this game, you got to make sure everybody's, you know, on your side here. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's really, it gets really frustrating because I love her and I root for her and I cheer for her. But when she said Saul, I was like, why? I want to know why, Genevieve. Explain this. Oh, there goes
my phone. All good. You're good. No, okay. I agree. I mean, I feel like that's where I came in, and that's why I came out a little hot on the recap, and everybody was like, Phil, give her flowers. And look, if Genevieve goes on to win the game, and this was the move she needed to make, good on her. I mean, Gabler did it with Ellie, and they had played since day one together. But Ellie always felt like she was at Gabler's throat. I never felt like Saul was at Genevieve's throat. And Saul seemed shocked. And then my next question, when I'm coming into this episode, is what are the repercussions for people like Rachel and Sam? Because Sam went straight to Saul to tell him that he was in trouble when he found out. So are Rachel and Sam going to get back together here? And how are they going to be able to work with Genevieve moving forward?
That's a really good question. Cause like, if I was Sam, I would be looking for any cracks that I could possibly find, because he's got a target that's so big on his back already. Mm-hmm. So, and Rachel is the one who is like kind of back and forth. So I think what they need to do is team back up with Andy and try to go, but then Andy is aligned with Genevieve. But even last week's episode didn't seem like they were super in line. They were close, but not quite. I don't know. So, it's frustrating, especially with the preview for this next episode, because we have Sue who's freaking out about how she hates Kyle, right? She hates. So, it's going to be a lot of focus on that, I think, which might really help Genevieve by taking off some of the heat. I don't know.
Yeah. She might be. Or it's just a giant red herring, right? And Sue said this before, and now she's saying it again. And maybe this is the sign that Kyle's about to win his fourth immunity, right? They're giving us the tease, and now he's gonna end up winning, and Sue's whole plan is gonna be shot, and then they might go a safer route. I mean, I always feel like they're not gonna spoil too much in the preview. So if she's screaming about Kyle, it seems real.
Definitely won't be going home, I don't think, because of that, like you said. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I think it could be a red herring, and I do feel like Genevieve is in trouble.
Yeah. Well, why don't we dive into some power rankings then? And so we're going to be doing number one is the safest, and we'll make our way back and forth through it. Number nine will be who you think is going home. So who do you have as your number one safest person this week?
For just the week, right?
Just the week. Yeah. We're not asking who's going to win. I'll ask you who's going to win at the end of all this, but just for the week.
Okay. The safest person this week is going to be Andy.
Okay. So what is it about Andy that makes you feel so good about him coming into this episode?
He's done an excellent job at not being the target.
Mm-hmm.
He's in everybody's eyes. He's just there. He's Andy. He's, you know, a little wishy-washy and kind of crazy at times, but he poses no threat.
Yeah. So do you think, because a lot of people feel like Andy could be the winner of this season. Do you feel like he's getting that? Because you were saying he doesn't really pose a threat here. Do you see a way that season 47 ends where Andy is crowned
the
fifth winner?
I could see it happen. My only problem with that is I feel like he could very easily be in the final three. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he has made some mistakes where he's showing too much excited and giddiness at the blindsides.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you got to remember to take in the people's feelings, because yes, it's a game, but out there it doesn't always feel like a game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that could be the one reason why people wouldn't give him votes.
Yeah. The smile after the Sierra vote made me think, oh man, if Sierra caught wind of that, she is not voting for Andy at the end of all this. So I don't think she would anyway at this point, but still. I have Rachel at number one. So I feel like with Rachel, and I have that over here on a laptop, because everybody who listened last week with Jake O'Kane, he had to do like a 5-minute filibuster about why Mad Dog Hershey should play Survivor on season 50 because my internet cut out. So I'm trying to prevent that from happening this time. So I have it on a laptop over here, but I have Rachel at number one. She has an idol, and I feel like right now she's insulated enough that if her name comes up, somebody's going to tell her name is up, whether that's Caroline, whether that's Teeny, whether that's Sam, whether that's Andy, even somehow, maybe it's even Genevieve. I feel like Rachel's connected across the board, and having that idol, she's somebody who the fact that she already tried to suss out if she was in danger last time, right? Like, play my shot in the dark in case I have to play the idol. She's already a little wary of people, and that's good. I feel like you have to play Survivor wary of people, even if you never can trust 100%.
No, I agree with you. I have her as number two.
Okay.
So for those reasons as well, like, I feel like she also does a good job of not letting the panic take over. Mm-hmm. And that's because Andy doesn't do a good job at the panic part. Rachel does, and so does Genevieve. The panic is where people really start to throw your name around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm wondering, like, with everything that just happened last week, if word comes around that it was Genevieve who made this move, Gabe and Kyle are both seen as challenge threats, Sam seen as a challenge threat, you know, the Tuku 4 is just a bigger alliance, all of that. Andy's kind of a little bit more chaotic, where he has voted for and against certain people that, you know, maybe he's seen as too wishy-washy. What would ever spin the target onto Rachel this week?
Genevieve. I mean, that's the only thing I can really see. Maybe Caroline, because Caroline has she has her head out for Rachel as well, big time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, even like you said, with the idol, if she felt like it was coming at her, I don't think she's stupid enough to hold on to it.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe I'm being crazy here, but my number two, I actually have Sue, and I'm going idol right off the bat here. And I know that in season 46, it was idols meant nothing and you went home with idols. My thing with Sue is, though, last week the line was actually uttered. She is the most insulated person on the tribe, and that's why insulated has now become part of my Survivor vocabulary. It's like they said that, and I was like, when did that happen? And if people feel like Sue is that insulated, how would she go home when she has an idol? I feel like she's got so many Atukus, they would have to pull a 5-4 vote with the remaining people versus Tuku. But then why would the remaining people say Sue's the one who it's got to be instead of Kyle, Gabe, or Caroline, who, you know, is definitely a under the radar threat?
The only reason why I could see Sue going home is because of the preview where she's freaking out about how much mm-hmm. she hates Kyle. It puts a target onto her back. But yeah, because she feels so insulated, because all of her alliance members make her feel insulated, she doesn't play her idol. That's why I see, like, I feel like she could have a slightly bigger target on her back to going home.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I mean,
number nine, but I don't have her as number three. So
yeah, I was a little surprised when Sam's initial reaction after finding out about the Saul news was, let's go take out Sue. Like, I was like, wait, why Sue? Where did that name come from? When was, I don't think Sam had said Sue's name the entire season up to that point. So it felt a little out of left field. Like, what were you thinking as that took place?
I mean, so if I was out there, I feel like it's pretty simple to see, because Caroline says right away, it's like mother, daughter, mm-hmm. you know, she's like number two. And then Gabe and Sue, everybody sees that they're super close. So right there, it's like a very hard three.
Yeah.
But it's both Gabe and Caroline who want to be her number one. And so that alone, you don't have that with anybody else. You don't have three or even a super strong pair like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I almost wonder when I'm watching Genevieve play, I almost wonder if that's part of her plan. Is any time that Genevieve feels like there's a pair that could be stronger, she wants to get rid of at least one part of that pair, but then isn't immediately going for the other part of that pair immediately after, because it's, hey, I got rid of Sierra. Sam, you're now out there. You're outcast. Like, hey, Keyshawn and Teenie, let's get rid of Keyshawn. Now, Teenie, you're on your own. And I wonder if that's part of the plan. And maybe that will put Gabe or Sue or Caroline in a little bit of trouble this week. But then whoever survives that could chill for a couple of weeks, because Genevieve's not worried about breaking it up anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. Like, break up the strong pairs mm-hmm. because then you have a whole bunch of people on their own. I mean, look at Rachel. Like, it wasn't up to Genevieve who did that, but Rachel has been on her own and bouncing back and forth and all over the place. Mm-hmm. So her allies are there, yes, but they're not set in stone. It's she's like, I'm here for me.
Yeah. So who do you have at three?
Number three, I have Teenie.
I have Teenie as well. So that works out. That works out nicely. I'll let you go first kind of on the reasoning, though. Why Teenie at three?
Teenie, you know, like, I feel like she doesn't pose a huge physical threat. She doesn't pose a huge strategic threat. She is kind of emotional, but she is close to people. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she's got people who are behind her. She's got friends in the game who want her there. So right now, I feel like she is just a part of a group.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, she poses no real threat to go home right now.
Yeah, I feel like if you're everybody else out there, you're looking at Teenie saying, what has Teenie done? What is Teenie's pitch going to be at Final Three? And I don't think Teenie, I've said this a lot about the new era, and you know, you go back even to China, because Amanda finishes third on your season. Like, not every third place finisher is a GOAT. Like, there are third place finishers that could win other seasons if things have gone differently. That's starting to feel like where Teenie's story is going. Like, Teenie understands the game better than probably most people playing, but everything's just gone wrong for Teenie thus far.
Yeah. And here's the thing is, I really like Teenie. I feel like her only downfall is she probably didn't realize that the attachments, the emotional attachments that you get to people is that real and that strong. Mm-hmm. And so that I feel like is causing her to question a lot of the moves, a lot of the things that are happening, and play more of an emotional game, which I'm assuming was not the plan going into. So I really do like Teenie and I'm rooting for her, but I feel like she needs to have a wake up call and make a big move.
Yeah, I think Teenie needs to take control of the game either at Final Nine, which is right now, or Final Eight next week. Otherwise, Teenie is going to be in that Jake, Owen, Romeo position where it's like, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing that you can do. You get to a certain point in the game where you don't have the resume, and no matter who you sit next to, there's always going to be one person in a Final Three who could beat you. But I still think Teenie has the game to be able to do that, because now Teenie is the ultimate free agent, which is why I have her at number three. I don't see people looking and saying, oh, Saul's gone, let's get rid of Teenie, easy vote. I honestly don't even think Genevieve's going to allow people to vote for Teenie this week, because she's going to want Teenie.
And the thing is like, at this point in the game, why? Why would you get rid of her? Mm-hmm. What has she done to be, you know, like someone you get rid of? There isn't a reason.
Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good right now. If I am looking at a Final Three situation, I'm saying, well, if Teenie can't make a big move, I'd sit next to Teenie at Final Three. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, so why get rid of her at nine? So we're both high on Teenie. Who do you have at four?
Four, I have Caroline.
Okay. What are you seeing from Caroline? Because I feel like she's the one that people in the community are having the hardest time placing. She's getting content, but she's not getting a lot of content. But she's there every week. She's saying the right thing. She's doing the right things. But what's going on with Caroline?
Strange. I don't even know how I would describe Caroline, because like when the game started, I didn't pay any attention to her. But I have grown over the past 3 weeks. I love her. I'm a Caroline fan. I think she's great. She is an observer. She is someone who watches everything that's going on. She has her alliance. She has her number one. So in her game, she protects herself. She protects her number one. That's what she does. But she sees what other people are doing. And because of that, I feel like she has a pretty good outline of how she would like to see the game play. But her downfall is she's not allowing herself to expand those relationships and expand her numbers. It's just very blatantly obvious who she's aligned with. And so if Sue were to go home, right, Caroline would be like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And so I would love to see Caroline step it up too. I feel like she's in the boat with Teeny, where I'm like, come on, I know you can do it. I see your brain going crazy. Like, let's see you do something.
Yeah. Yeah, I was starting to get to the point where I'm like, could Caroline actually win this game? Because everything that the editors are giving her is Caroline's doing everything right. Like, that's what we're seeing as an audience. We're just not seeing. I mean, I think there's like they time confessionals. Like, now there's the Survivor community is so crazy, because it used to just people do confessional counts. Now people time confessionals. And I think she's barely over 5 or 6 minutes based on like the last thing I heard, which is really low, because then I think whoever's at the top might be close to like 15 or so minutes. I don't know, because I just see it like secondhand through people like in comments and such. But if that's the case, she's had a confessional in every single episode. But it's like they're giving it to her just to give it to her. So as an audience, we remember she's there. Why are they wanting us to remember that she's there so much? I feel like that's a good move for her. That's a good thing for her.
I agree. I feel like at some point here soon, the underdogs, the smaller, quiet ones, someone's going to make a big move. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that big move, unfortunately, is probably going to be Genevieve. And so whether it's going to be Teeny, Rachel, or Caroline, or a mix of them, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of what's looming.
Yeah. I have Andy at 4. So not much different from where, you know, you had Andy at 1. I have him at 4. I still think Andy's very safe. I just had him a little bit lower because I feel like Andy could be somebody who overplays eventually, where somebody comes up to him and says, this is who we're going to vote out. And he says, well, I don't want to vote that person out. He handled the Sam situation really well last week. I feel like when Sam came up to him and said, you want to make a huge move? And Andy was like, sure. Who do you want to go with? Even though Andy knew exactly what he was going to do. But I do worry that if somebody actually says to Andy, no, we don't want to do what you want to do, would Andy push back too hard and potentially shoot himself in the foot in a moment where he didn't need to?
I wouldn't be surprised. I see exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the only reason why Andy is safe, to be honest with you, is I feel like everybody out there feels like he won't win. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's dangerous for them, good for him, because they could be really shocked and be like, wow, he actually did an incredible job.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I keep, you're not the first Survivor winner to say that. I was at the New Orleans event that Bryce and Wendell put on, and Wendell said boots on the ground. Like, from the edit, it might look great to the audience, but boots on the ground, it doesn't seem like most of the people out there are scared that Andy's going to beat them. So that's two Survivor winners now that I've heard say this.
Yeah.
Like, that starts to make a little bit more sense.
That's a stupid thing to get comfortable with, is like looking at someone and saying there's no way they can win. They'd be great to bring to the end. Like, that's so stupid. But it happens.
was there anybody, and I just ask this for my own curiosity, was there anybody on China that people felt that way with that maybe could have pulled a shot? Who?
Jean Robert.
Really?
Yeah. We were like, there's no way he's going to win. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought that Jean Robert would win. And Denise. I hate saying that, but and Denise.
But do you think either one of them could have surprised at Final Three, or no way?
No.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe, like PG, honestly, like we all thought that she couldn't win, but if she was in the Final Three, there's actually a good chance she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've met PG a couple times, and she could pitch her case. She can argue it.
Oh my gosh, PG. Okay, I hated her out there. I hated her. But PG in real life is probably the most phenomenal person on the planet. Like, she's so great. And I think the reason why I hated her so much was because she posed such a threat. And I didn't want to see it or admit it. But she's incredible.
15-year-old Phil, and I've told PG this, 15-year-old Phil hated PG and Jamie with passion when they started throwing those things off to the side. I was like, what are you doing? I hate you both so much. I couldn't understand it. I was so mad at them. But yeah, then when PG was on the second chance ballot, I was like, you all better vote her in. Like, let's go.
Yes.
Oh, man. All right. Who do you have at number five?
Number five, I have Sue.
Okay.
And it goes back to the Idol situation and her alliance with Caroline and Gabe. You know, it gets, she's just pretty freaking solid.
Yeah. I'm so we have the same top five, just in a different order, because I have Caroline at five. So we just kind of mix them around. The reason I put Caroline in the middle is because Saul going home last week, it was like the guy who had been there the entire season. He had been a little quiet. He'd had a couple moments, but nothing over the top. Caroline's kind of falling into that mode too, where are we at the, and I don't like to use this, but like, are we at the expendable part of the season where the people who we really haven't seen much are going home now? And Caroline does have the fewest confessionals. Like I was saying, time-wise, it's really not there. So maybe this would be the week she'd go, but I'm still putting her in the middle because I have a hard time when you have people like Sam, Kyle, Gabe, and Genevieve out there. Especially after Genevieve just made this massive move, and it is going to get out that she made that move because it already seems like people are putting the pieces together. I just have to think Caroline's safer than them, but nothing would shock me with Caroline's that. I wouldn't be shocked if she goes home here. I wouldn't be shocked if she wins the whole game. She's a total wild card to me right now.
Yes, I agree with you completely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go in. So now we're into the bottom half.
Yes.
Who do you have at six?
This is where I start to get like, like I don't know for sure. I put Gabe as six.
Okay.
I say that only because of his alliance. However, he has had a target on his back. People do want him gone, but that alliance is they watch out for each other.
Mm-hmm. They're a very strong alliance. The thing that's funny with that alliance is if they get through this week, they could be the final four.
Yes.
But they have to get through this week because right now they're still on the wrong side of the numbers, even though they are clearly the strongest alliance. I mean, Andy's backstabbed Sam. And yes. And Sam and Andy both backstabbed Rachel. Genevieve backstabbed Teenie. Teenie hasn't been able to backstab. Teenie doesn't have a sharpened knife right now. But then the other four, they've all kind of worked together. And even if Sue is, oh, I'm so tired of Kyle, blah, 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 they've still got each other's backs when they actually sit down for votes at tribal council. So if they get through this week, they could win it. But getting through this week has got to be hard because I have to assume that the other five are going to say one of those. One of them. It doesn't matter who. One of them.
I agree with you. I feel like they really are going to need to take one of the four out.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that happens or not, though, I don't know. I feel like Kyle will probably win immunity. Mm-hmm. And then Sue has her idol, and she would not hesitate to play it for Caroline or Gabe.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And that's what I'm thinking too. Like, Sue would absolutely play her idol for Caroline, would absolutely play it for Gabe. She wouldn't play it for Kyle, but if Kyle's immune anyway, you can't take a shot. Like, and I don't think anybody's expecting Sue to be the one with the idol, right? We saw this with Carolyn back in 44. People, they're just going to overlook Sue as the potential. So maybe they say, let's just throw the votes on Sue. Like, she's going to be the one who goes. They can't split.
So, I mean, it could be a really interesting tribal council.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have Sam as my number six. So I feel like the fact that Rachel didn't really tell Sam, but did tell Sam, she gave him enough of a head nod and a mm-hmm. And then Sam ran around like a chicken with his head cut off. And people knew Sam was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. And nobody said, Sam, stop doing that or we're going to vote you out. Because after Sierra went, they could have easily just said, dude, you are in no position to be the one barking orders. But they didn't do that. And to me, that makes it feel like they want Sam around. Maybe Sam is toothless. Maybe Sam is the one they're hoping can beat the Gabes and the Kyles of the world in these challenges. I just don't feel like he goes this week because of those reasons and because he's not a Tuku. So I really do. I mean, I have Gabe and Kyle. They're going to be, you know, I still have the two of them left here with three remaining. I am just more confident that Tuku's going to go than somebody like Sam.
Okay. No, that, I like that. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to feel like you might have had Sam in the nine hole there. I'm not going to say, you don't have to say, but it's like with the nod
I'll
there.
I'll explain when I get to Sam.
Okay. Okay. So who do you have at seven?
Seven, I have Kyle.
Okay.
And it's not because I feel like his alliance loves him or really like is going to fight for him to be there. I feel like he's seven because he very likely will win immunity. If he doesn't win immunity, I feel like he's in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I'm at too, because Sue saying that name, well, if everybody else says, okay, well, Sue's willing to do it too. We want to get rid of a Tuku. Why piss off the Tukus? Let's pretend that we're still open to working with some of them, even if you're really only open to working with one or two. It just feels like it's the easy solution. So that's where I'm scared for Kyle, and that's why I also have him down here near the bottom. But, yeah, if Kyle wins immunity, which even last week he loses immunity, it was between him and Gabe. Like, that was it again.
Exactly. So his odds of winning are really good, especially with the preview where his name was, like, so high.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know. I like how no matter what, I mean, I think that's been since season 4, 5, 6, Survivor puts in the preview that this person's going home. They're probably not going home.
Yeah.
go ahead.
I said, who is yours?
Yeah. So at seven, I have Genevieve actually. I am worried for Genevieve that this was a week early, but I also think that we might be a week early on seeing Genevieve go home. I think that Genevieve is going to stay one more week, let the dust settle a little bit. I feel like people are, you know, I just feel like the Tukus are a threat right now, because if you get rid of Genevieve here, if you're Sam and if you're Teeny and if you're Rachel, you have to rely on Andy now to stick with you. Like, you don't really have a choice, or you need to hope that, okay, well, I'm in closer with those Tukus that they'll keep me around. And then maybe we get the final five and I can be the swing vote there, but that's, you're risking a lot doing that. So I feel like Genevieve is safer because a Tuku is going to be targeted just to kind of even these numbers out and never allow a tribe to get too much of an advantage, especially in the new era. Tribes doesn't always mean we're close, but this Tuku group is close.
Yes, absolutely. So, okay. That makes perfect. Because next, my number eight is Genevieve.
Okay.
And so because I agree with you, I feel like it is a week early for her to go. I feel like she definitely is going to be outed. And I feel like her time is going to be ticking really, really soon here. So, okay. So since I've said eight, we all know my number is Sam. So I'll go ahead and explain my thought process here. So Sue is going to get really pissed off at Kyle. She's going to pull in, you know, Caroline, like, oh, Kyle, blah, blah, blah. Kyle wins immunity. There's that. So Kyle's going to be like, okay, well, like, let's get rid of Sue. Obviously, Sam's going to want to get rid of Sue as well. There's people who want to get rid of Sue. So they're going to talk about voting out Sue, but she has the idol. And so because of that, I feel like Sam has the highest chance of going home.
So do you think that in this situation, if Sue plays the idol, she's writing Sam's name down then? Or that's what you feel?
If she cannot write down Kyle's name, then yes, I feel like she would write down Sam's name. And I feel like she would write down Sam's name only because she'll never write Gabe.
Yeah.
And she's going to want one of the alpha males out, because her story has been so much about not trusting the alpha males, you know, being working in a man's world, blah, blah, blah. And she hears her name come out and she instantly hates that person.
Yeah.
So if word gets her that it was Sam, she's in trouble.
And Sam, and I think that could have been set up for us last week. That's a good point. Maybe I have Sam too high here, because that is a really good point of she does not like her name being thrown around at all. And Sam was vocal about it. I mean, he was telling everybody, let's go for Sue. He told way more than two people. Like, he was telling as many people as he could.
Like, she hates Kyle still to this day so much because there was a group of people talking about getting rid of Sue, and he voted for her. Like, it wasn't even like him actively trying to get her out. It was like, well, I guess this is what I have to do, is my alliance. And so now she hates his guts because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I have Kyle at 8, even though he's the name being thrown around and Sue has much more reason to vote him out. I have him at 8 just because of the immunity thing. Like, he could win immunity. And also, if I'm the other group who wants to get rid of Ituku, and I'm hearing Sue say, let's get rid of Kyle, let's get rid of Kyle, let's get rid of Kyle, even though I just said a little bit earlier, maybe that's the easy vote for everybody. You could also say, well, she doesn't feel close to Kyle. Let's get rid of somebody she does feel close to, which would be Gabe or Caroline, which is why I put Gabe at the bottom.
Okay. I think that would be awesome. I would love to see it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been putting Gabe near the bottom for a while, if not at the bottom. I feel like Gabe is playing a pretty solid game. He's had his finger on the pulse of everything. I just feel like he's felt like a side character to the main story. And I'm just kind of waiting for the moment that the other shoe is going to drop. Like, it's just going to happen.
It's funny because Gabe was, when I did like a podcast before the season started, I said Gabe was first boot.
Yeah.
So I had that feeling of him since beginning. And I'm like, wow, he's really, really sticking on here. Mm-hmm. Like, because I agree with you. I feel like there's way too much in your face side character of Gabe, and like his name, people want him out, but he's still here. He's sticking around somehow. So I feel like that's actually not a bad idea at all, because they, like you said, if they can't get rid of Kyle, they can't get rid of Sue, or they're afraid of the idol, like let's target Gabe instead.
Yeah. And it's funny, like we were talking, how you just mentioned, you thought he was gonna be the first boot. Everybody in the preseason was saying, hey, this guy's standoffish. We don't like him. We don't really understand what he's doing over there. And so I thought he was going to go out early too. And it's funny because I think the Survivor community has just latched onto, we all thought that Gabe wasn't going to be likable, so we don't like him. His popularity from Rob's fact checker over on Twitter, which is Rob has a podcast that has like this guy who just is like the fact checker for him. I'm using air quotes there because I know he's not like actually affiliated, but Gabe's popularity for this week went from 4% to 6%. So he was joking, saying, look, I'm on the rise, everybody, but people have just been hating on this guy all season, but he's taking it like a champ. He knows how to handle it. So it's been good.
It's interesting because like, I don't hate him. Like I don't dislike him as a player or a character. Sometimes I feel like I'm a little put off by his maybe cockiness in the game.
I could see that. Yeah, for sure. All right. So who then, and I got a couple questions here just to wrap this up. Who do you think is going to win this season?
All right. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I feel like Rachel's probably going to win.
That's right.
And I'm okay with that, 'cause I really like Rachel. But honestly, like, this is why I said I love 47, because I can see Rachel winning. I can see Andy winning. I can see Caroline winning. I can even see Teenie winning. Mm-hmm. I would like Genevieve to win. I don't think she will. And I would be okay with Sue winning. Like, it's bizarre. And honestly, like, I don't dislike Sam or Kyle, or like, it's very bizarre to me how this final nine is just like, good job, Survivor casting.
Yeah. I was saying this, and I think I don't remember if I did this on a Patreon podcast or on a live podcast, but I'll say it here now. Anyway, I could see Survivor 47 potentially being the season that when Survivor 50 comes around, you get maybe one person from the season, or maybe nobody's on there. And you're like, whoa, that's shocking. We all love that season, but it's such an ensemble cast, right? It does have that Guatemala kind of feel where everybody's pulling their weight. Everybody's doing what they need to do. And there's, yeah, Rome had a lot of confessionals. Rome was doing a lot. And there are some standout characters, but perhaps there are bigger versions in other seasons that were more focal points of the storyline than maybe what we're seeing here, because this is all over the place. And this is the murder mystery season right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's why I love it so much, because it has been so all over the place. There hasn't been one super standout, and I just find it fun to watch.
Yeah. So the last couple questions here that I got for you related to 50. Actually, I got one here, and I got to throw that up. Super chat from Cody Brayman. Todd, what were your thoughts on Rome?
I thought Rome was excellent television. Mm-hmm. Because every time that you have someone to root against on a show, it's great TV, right? And I feel like the world actively was rooting against Rome.
Yeah.
Like, who is this guy? So I can't deny the fact that he was excellent TV. But he played too hard. He was far too cocky and narcissistic. But I give him mad props because he made a huge statement.
Yeah.
On Survivor 47.
How'd you feel about him sitting in Jeff's chair? That's the real question.
I was like, no.
Yeah. Would that have ever been allowed on China? Come on.
No way. Jeff has gotten like very sweet. He's like, you know, one of those like grandpas who's like, come sit on my lap. But yeah. Was like, you know, beat his kids with his belt.
I love that description, right? Because I've been saying soft, and I feel like soft is the easy word, but I think sweet is funnier because it's like he is
licorice, and you know, like come on, yeah. Like
I know
who are you, Jeff? So sweet lately, it's bizarre.
Back in the day, he's just talking shit to Courtney nonstop, and now he's over here being sweet. My God. So just related to 50, I just got to ask a couple from Survivor China. They were going to give the call to anybody from your cast to be on season 50. You could only have one be there. Who would you most want to see play again?
Would I want to see play?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so hard. I mean, obviously I would love to see Courtney play again. Mm-hmm. I would love that. I know the fans want Amanda. I would love to see Amanda go and maybe hopefully get her win. Mm-hmm. Probably
Courtney would be the dream for me. I mean, Courtney had like four confessionals on Heroes versus Villains and had me cracking up nonstop. So it's like, I need Courtney back.
Person on the planet. Like Courtney's the greatest. And so I just don't know if she wants to. I don't think she will. Maybe I could convince her if they call her. I'll be like, come on. But her and I are going on a cruise next year. So if she goes.
Oh, yeah. So you're all doing that villain. What is it? Like the what kind of cruise is that? I saw that.
It's the Survivor cruise. Like it's you can book your rooms and come in. It's going to be like a Survivor weekend getaway with a bunch of us. And we're going to play games and sing karaoke and go on vacation together. So
it's going to be interesting when Survivor 50 goes out, right? When people are like, who dropped off that cruise ship? Huh? Who's not going on the cruise anymore? I mean,
it's bound to happen. I mean, it will probably happen with Caroline, or Carolyn is my guess. Mm-hmm. So like, I wouldn't be surprised for her to drop off. The biggest question is like, if there were winners to be asked back, then the cruise would be in trouble. But I don't feel like there's going to be winners. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like it needs winners to be a hit season.
Yeah. What if they called you, would you play or no?
Oh, I would say yes. I would say yes, heartbeat. But like, and I was telling someone else this, like if they do bring back winners, what they would have to do in order to make any of the winners have a shot is three tribes. One of the tribes would be winners. Mm-hmm. And then you could do like runners up and jury or whatever you want, you know what I mean? But if you go into it like Game Changers,
I agree with that, because JT never had a shot and Sandra almost somewhat got there, but like not really, right? And look, I'd be all for that. I still say to this day that there are plenty of one-time winners out there. Vizepia, Chris Doherty, you, those like that's like three of the top people on my wish list right now. Everybody also knows that I love the Iceman for what he did on TV. You know, I did love Brian when he was doing his nonsense in Thailand. But maybe they'll ask a couple winners. I don't know, but I think there's still people on that list, and you could get people. Earl, yeah, somebody just put in the comments Earl, where it wouldn't feel like, oh, it's just a repeat of you know, Survivor 40, which is what I think a lot of people are worried about.
I would go play. I mean, I'd love to see Jenna come play. I mean, that would be incredible. Season 6 to now, like, come on now. Who else, winner wise? I don't know. There's so many people that, like, I know this would be, a lot of fans would hate it, but like Chris Underwood, it would be kind of cool to see if he could go back and actually have some sort of redemption. Because like he went on the challenge and won that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know. I'm big on those kinds of things. I love seeing like the redemption arc, or just give me like, because people kind of overlook now. Like I did the Russell Hantz rank your top 100 players during COVID, and we ranked them all. And I remember when I put my rankings, and I'm like, this is the definitive list. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, I had like you, Chris Doherty, in the top 10, along with people like Sandra, Tony, Parvati, all these big names. And then I got the final list when everybody combined their things. And I'm like, did you all forget about like Todd and Chris and Vesepia and like the one time winners? This was when, you know, Yule had just played, and people who like were newer fans really weren't impressed with winners at War Yule. And I'm like, you're all just forgetting how good some of these wins were in these early seasons, because the game's just changed so much.
And that's the thing too, is with winners at War, like you, I like look at Danny, poor Danny.
Yeah.
She, you know, crumbled, but then you look at Guatemala and she was somewhere I loved. I don't know. It's hard, because if you aren't given the chance, as it goes with old school, new school as well, because there's a very big divide with winners at War. It was new school who had the numbers, and that was rough.
Yeah.
The winners would at least have to have an equal amount of people playing,
yeah,
to have, if they were asked to go on 50. And as a fan, I don't want to see Parvati and Rob and Sandra and Tony. I don't want to see them all again. I love these people. They're great. But I want something new and fresh and different and fun.
So if you could take one person, and now we've really talked about it, and that was going to be my next question. If you could take one person from any season of Survivor and see them on 50, and it was like, you're, yes, that's what I wanted, who would it be?
I don't know. That's very hard for me to answer, because
go ahead.
I feel like Christian from David versus Goliath.
Okay.
I want to see, he was hilarious. I was a huge Spencer Bledsoe fan.
Okay.
I know he's kind of doing his own thing right now, so I don't know if that would be very good. Gosh, there's so many that.
And what you're saying here, Brian Corden would be great. I've said that so long and people laugh half the time. I'm like, no, Brian Corden would be amazing.
It would be so much fun. And that's the thing, is I could go back and say all these names and people will be like, who? Like, I'd love to see Eliza again. Honestly, I know she's played twice, but I love Eliza. Jason Siska. Man, they're so...
And what you're proving here is that there's so many people to pull from, because I'm in the same boat as you. I love Tony. I love Sandra. I love Parvati. I love all Rob, Tyson, all that. But we've seen it so many times. And there are players that, like, as a fan, I've been watching since I started season 2, episode 2. I was 8 years old or 9 years old, whatever it was. And I've been watching for so long. And I love that the show has its superstars. But there are players where I'm like, let's go. Like, even somebody like Todd. It's people like Amanda and James, who played 3 times in 5 seasons. Like, that feels like a lot, but we haven't seen them now in, it'll be 30 seasons. I'm ready to have somebody like that back on my TV again.
I would actually be okay with seeing Amanda again. I also think it would be fun to see like Nalia or Sean Reck from Marquesas, Kathy Varick O'Brien, Amy O'Hara, even. Michelle Yee. Like, there's so many people who I was like, I would love to see, because it's like, I want to see the change from then to now.
Yeah. Man,
there's if I sat down and went over this list, it would be so long. It would be very hard to narrow down.
I'm in the same boat. I mean, like, it's, and it, obviously, like, we all have our own taste, right, on who we'd want to see and everything like that. But when you start naming those people, it's like, okay, that was the Survivor Sucks era of Survivor, where like people would go on and be like, Michelle Yee needs to play again. And we wanted to see this, and now it has been so long. But the one thing I hope with 50, because they have their work cut out for them, they have backed themselves into a corner with what they're going to do here. I don't know how they're going to get through this. I just hope they pull from everywhere. Like, make it and give us a surprise or two, right? Like, Danielle DiLorenzo was a massive surprise on Heroes Villains. Nobody thought we were getting that. And she was good on Heroes Villains. Let's get those types of, why did we not, like, nobody thought that person was going to play again. And yet there they are, and they're bringing it. Like, Ciara Dawn Thomas brought it in Game Changer.
Yeah.
she did. Like, that's what I'm looking for. And maybe we can get a random person that, you know, that isn't going to be random to us, but you do all of a sudden people go, oh crap, Sean Rector is playing for the first time since season 4. Michelle Yee is playing for the first time since season 14. Like, what is going on?
See, and that's possible. They did it with Jervis.
Yeah.
Oh, T-Bird. Hello. That's
oh yeah. T-Bird. T-Bird has to be on this season.
She's the one who needs to be there. Like, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. The list is so freaking long. I don't know how they're going to do it, but according to Jeff and like his, it's going to be a celebration feel. I'm trying to think like who is excited about Survivor in their life, because that's what he's going for. So I feel like that's the best way to narrow it down, if that makes sense.
So, no, I agree. And that seems to be what he's saying, right? He put out that tweet or somebody put out that message the other day where it was like, he said it to Dalton Ross. We only want people who are happy about it. We don't want people, blah, blah, blah. And everybody was like, I've never been more chipper. This is the happy start. And then Cass McQuillan was like, I'm miserable. I don't care what he says. So it's like, I love that kind of stuff where people lean into it and whatever, but it does seem like they at least know the route they want to go. I just can't wait to see what they're going to do. And as big of a fan as I was, I'll never forget when I first found out season 40 was going to be winners. I was like, wow, this is going to be epic. And I just started listing off names. And when you started hearing who was going to be on there, I couldn't believe it. And now with 50, I'm like, how are they going to surprise me? How are they going to wow me? And who are the names going to be that I'm going to say, thank God. Like, there we go.
Because I do want to be surprised and wowed. I would love to see Johnny Fairplay come back because he would be for fans versus favorites. But I feel like it could be now. That could be fun.
Yeah, and he was on House of Villains, and he was good on House of Villains. He brought it.
Yeah, and so I feel like he would be pretty entertaining on 50 for sure. But I don't know. Like, there's a whole lot of people on this list, so I'm sure that you know you're gonna start hearing rumors and everything soon. I would imagine once 49 is cast, but it'll be Jeff said someone from 47.
Yeah.
So my guess would be Rome because he seems to love Rome.
Or Andy.
Yeah.
I'd say one of those two. That would be where my guess would be one of those two players right now.
Yeah. I agree. So I don't know. I'm excited. I'm just as excited as everybody else though, because it's fun for me.
Yeah.
If I would say yes, but like, I also don't sit around thinking like I better be asked type
thing. Yeah. You're not calling Jeff on the Jeff phone. You don't have that going on right now.
No. I'm good with my one and done. Like, that is 100% okay with me. If I was asked, absolutely say yes, because why not?
Yeah.
Get out there and see if I can still do it 17 years later. But like, my batting 1,000 is pretty good.
It's pretty good. I know. And that's what I would always do. Like, when I was ranking the top 100 back during COVID, I know you got to go, so I won't hold you too long, but just to say this, I was really emphasizing the first games of a lot of people. So when my ranking looked like Tony, Sandra, Todd, and then Chris was like 5, people were like, but Todd and Chris have only played once. I'm like, yeah. And they won their seasons and they did really, really well on it. And I'm sorry, but like, you know, I always look at the final three of your season was the most competitive there still has ever been.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not going to knock you because you only played one time. That's not your problem.
Well, and here's the other downfall. And a lot of people don't think about this. I think about it though, is like, if you look at the people who have, they played, they won, and then they went back and they played again, and it just kind of soiled their legacy a little bit. I shouldn't ruin it or anything like that. But there are people who went back and, like you said, with Yule, that they recognized his game from Winners at War, not from Cook Islands. And that's not fair because his game in Cook Islands was phenomenal. So, I mean, like Adam or Wendell or Danny, like all of them, and Ben, like all of them ended up looking complete opposite of their original season. Mm-hmm. And that would be my biggest fear, is going back and like pooping my pants and having like, you said he was good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
I'd be here defending nonstop. I wouldn't care. I'd be like, he was too big of a threat. Everybody, you just don't understand. It's not his fault. It's everybody else's fault. But all right. Well, I'll let you go here. This was a pleasure. I'm so happy that I was able to get you on this podcast. It's still a little surreal that we just chatted Survivor for an hour.
That's really good. I love you. Know your stuff. That was a lot of fun. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. And I mean, I'd love to have you on again. And for whoever's going to win the prop bet game, this is the guy right here. And anybody who's looking for a, you got to say a custom Pop Funko, right?
It's a custom Funko Pop. So collect to switch them. But yeah, if you're looking for a custom Funko Pop, you can get me on my Facebook, which is just Todd Herzog, or you can find me on Instagram, which is Todd's Pop Shop, or my regular one, Todd Herzog. And my email is toddspopshop@gmail.com.
There you go. And I'm going to put that in the description.
5,000. So there's plenty to look at.
Wait, how many? What'd you say? How many have you done?
Almost 5,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How long does it take you to make one?
I work on like 10 at a time.
Okay.
So really hard to narrow it down, but like I'll do sculpting on a bunch of them, and then I'll do sanding on a bunch of them, and I'll be painting on a bunch of them. So it's like, you know, a chain that I'll be doing. Otherwise, I would not have been able to make as many as I have.
That's awesome, though. That's awesome. Well, this was a pleasure. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. You can check out all the stuff we have going on over there. Otherwise, I'll see everybody on Wednesday night when we're recapping Survivor 47, episode 10.
Woo-hoo. See you later.